Shalom liyudim, shalom lebnei noach, shalom goyim. It is the evening of the fourth day, Kaf Vav Benisan Ba'ashas Kedoshim Tav Shinai and Vav, the evening of the third day, Tuesday, 3 May 2016, webcasting from the source of all the headlines in jolly old England these days, this royal throne of kings, the sceptred isle, this earth of majesty, the seat of Mars, this other Eden, this demi-paradise. That's from Shakespeare, Richard II, if not Richard I. Richard Lionheart, born in the same town of Oxford, where the Laborite students today, 827 years later, have become intolerably anti-Semitic. Richard, who on his coronation day in the year 1189, had to deal with and put down a pogrom in London. Really, several of them broke out in parts of the city. The records show that a delegation of Jews representing the community went to Westminster during the day, bearing gifts and congratulations for the new king. Only some knights and nobles were enraged by this audacity, and they started killing them. One mortally wounded Jew was Benedict of York, the richest Jew in that town. Rioting spread to Stamford, Lincoln, and Norwich, and to York, where, with the community leader dead in London, the locals were tempted into igniting a larcenous, hate-filled rampage. They tried to tear down the man's palatial house. So this, in the middle of his coronation day, the King of England had to put down a wave of homicidal Jew hatred. And then 8 months later, in 1190, 150 Jews in York would be slaughtered by a mob of homicidal Jew hatred. And then, of course, 400 years further on in Elizabethan England, the theater as an arm of the world of art was soaring with such playwrights as Christopher Marlowe, who gave us The Jew of Malta with its juvenile portrait of the Jew as evil incarnate, and his fellow playwright Shakespeare, who gave us The Jew, The Merchant of Venice, counting his ducats. And then in the 19th century, Charles Dickens gave literature his Jew villain Fagin. So the English have a record of anti-Jewism going all the way back to their legendary birth in the age of Richard Lionheart, who had problems with his people over their inclination to murder Jews. Not all of them, of course. The English are a schizophrenic people when it comes to the children of Israel, a two-faced Janist people capable, on the one hand, of Nazi-like pogroms, but arguably they have been the most tolerant and respectful toward Jews as a people, I think, in Christendom. It's no accident of history that the Balfour Declaration was the handiwork of two Christian Zionists. Later on, Margaret Thatcher appointed five Jews as cabinet ministers. She was an admirer of the Jewish people. The English sectarians in the 17th century, called the Puritans, who settled on Massachusetts Bay, stepped on Plymouth Rock. They all could read biblical Hebrew and gave their children Hebrew Jewish names. So the English have these two faces when it comes to the Jews, and certainly one of them has been on display this week, the top of the news in England, and of course here, as we watch this latest flare-up of anti-Jewism in England. The Daily Telegraph reported today that 50 Labour Party members have been suspended in secret, in addition to the recent public suspension of several of them, for their classical, demented, delusional Jew hatred, all of them of the Muslim persuasion. According to the Telegraph, since Jeremy Corbyn took over, Labour's ranks have attracted like flies to excrement anti-Jews, seeing in him apparently a kind of Führer for their feelings, their compulsive Jew hatred. He is their leader. Corbyn, it seems, is a funny kind of fellow who really seems to believe it's possible to be against anti-Semitism, but he does support the Jew killers in Hamas and Hezbollah, both of them openly bent on the complete destruction of the state of Israel. So he's suspending these people left and right for what he judges to be anti-Semitism, which is not the same, he insists, as anti-Zionism. Yeah, this is the new strain of Jew hatred, which has been with us for some time now. Jew hatred's been with us since I think we became a people. The hatred is always expressed in angry allegations of Jewish evil deeds, and always the accusations are baseless. They are figments of the imaginations of people who hate Jews. I saw a talkback post online the other day, a real textbook specimen of anti-Jew thinking in our time, This woman flung the accusation that we Jews in Israel think that because we suffered at the hands of the Nazis, we have the right to persecute the ancient ones. I have never heard such a statement from any Jew in my life. And you remember some months back in Barcelona, there's a satirical magazine there like Charlie Hebdo that bashes Israel, and its editor said the same thing. He was angry that Israelis think that because they suffered under the Nazis, they have the right to take it out on the ancient ones. Terrible. The ancient ones, yeah. Much more of the madness intrinsic to Jew hatred that consistently is just plain delusional. That's my book, I think, shining a light on the idea of the Palestinians and exposing that there's nothing there. No one on the planet can string together two fact-filled sentences on the history of the Palestinians prior to the restoration of Eretz Yisrael by Jews starting in the 19th century, any more than one can describe the emperor's new clothes. People, the world, the General Assembly of the United Nations talk endlessly about the Palestinians, but not anyone can ever name one unique and identifying national emblem of this people, like the Japanese in their kimonos, or the Scots with their kilts, Mexican tamales and French frog legs. To borrow from Gertrude Stein, there is no there, which is further evidence. I argue that Palestinian nationalism is just this generation's successor clump of delusions after deicide and post-religious anti-Semitism went out of fashion. It's the latest transformation in disguise. As for Corbyn, with his Jewish first name, Jeremy is short for Jeremiah, he and his laborites, well, it's at least an interesting embarrassment to follow this story and see how the British left deals with the undeniable presence of old-fashioned 16th century Shakespearean Jew hatred in their midst. There are those like Corbyn, who in their delusional views of Israel, in which they see Nazi-like criminals, nonetheless are capable of seeing the raw and naked old-fashioned Jew hatred on display in his own community, especially out of the mouths and minds of the Muslims in his party now, who are just like, in their minds, their brethren in Saudi Arabia, although they're British subjects of the Queen, fluent in English. They harbor the wackiest thinking about Jews, which is functionally right out of the Dark Ages. Yesterday, one of the Muslim laborite anti-Jews who was suspended this week was Shah Hussein, a labor counselor. He was suspended for comparing in a tweet Israelis to Adolf Hitler. And then later in the day, he defended this idea, appearing on BBC's Daily Politics show, and denied he was anti-Semitic. He said what Israel is doing to Hamas and other Islamist groups was comparable to the Nazi genocide. And he added that he was being victimized just because he is a Muslim. What is one to make of such thinking? For sure, Israel's record of abuse of Arabs is not stain-free. But genocide? To be charitable, perhaps this son of a largely illiterate Arab society does not know what genocide means. The Nazis are out to find and slaughter every Jew on the planet. Is that what Israel is doing to its enemies? This is like shrieking apartheid and ethnic cleansing when there is none. And those campuses with their yearly Israel apartheid festivals are literally engaged in acting out a delusion meant to portray Jews as racist oppressors of others, really the real landlords of the land they stole from them. We're living with a new strain of Jew hatred, like the flu that keeps mutating. Jew hatred is forever morphing to suit the times, and in this generation we're witness to the bizarre behavior of people hating Jews but denying that they do. Oh, they claim it's the Jews' evil abuse of the victims, of their victims, which justifies being anti-Zionists, but that's not the same as anti-Semitism, which was a clump of pseudoscientific nonsense that once was taken as seriously as Palestinian nationalism today.
שמיים בארץ אל ייתן למות רגליך השם צלחה על יד ימינך. יומם השמש לא יקקר וירח בלילה, השם ישמורך מכל רע, ישמור את נפשך, השם ישמור צאתך ובואך. מעתה ועד עולם, מעתה ועד עולם. שמיים בארץ, אל ייתן למות רגליך, אל ינום שומריך. הנה לא ינום ולא ישן שומר ישראל, השם שומריך, השם צלך על יד ימינך. יומם השמש לא יקקר וירח בלילה, השם ישמורך מכל רע, ישמור את נפשך, השם ישמור צאתך
On the other hand, in observing the current flap in England, the Labour Party's anti-Jew members coming out of the closet, there's no need to panic at this point. There may even be a silver lining to this nasty business. For all the anti-Jew poison coming to the surface, well, that's been a feature of the British people alluded to before, their Janus face ability to, on the one hand, side with the Jews sometimes. Even such reprehensible publications as The Guardian see the current flap is not just about anti-Israel opinions, but undeniable, irrational, dare we say, lunatic Jew hatred. One senses another lesson for the Brits about the Muslim community that lives within. Their religion-like hatred of the State of Israel is matched by a pre-existing Islamic hatred of Jews as Jews. And the sober, sensible people among the British are should be seeing warning lights flashing for the country as a whole, thanks to the rising power of the Muslims among them. The current exposure of the guiltless, demented hatred of Jews in the Labour Party should alarm England, once again, that they are in effect a country slowly being occupied by an enemy people, an enemy culture, an intolerant culture. The English gave the world the best example of democracy, of respect for the individual in the face of the sovereign. They created the greatest empire in history. The flag never set on the Union Jack, flying all over the world. And to this day, the English language has become the international language, the planetary language. When a Japanese airliner lands in Argentina, a pilot and control tower talk to each other in English. Likewise, the German airliner landing in Jakarta. It's the language of science and medicine worldwide. But the English are now in danger of being swallowed up by the Muslims, just like in Europe. And they will be unless they take a stand. I think the current brouhaha is another warning that Muslims have their own historic variety of pathological Jew hatred. And the native Jew hatred of the Brits and the imported variety are becoming a volatile mix. Hence the rumors of a palace coup, so to speak, inside the Labour Party, percolating the rumors to remove Corbyn for his tenure has only led to this. The results of the upcoming elections should be instructive. It came out yesterday that in addition to Corbyn calling the homicidal Muslim cultists in Hamas and Hezbollah his friends, he's also praised Marwan Barghouti, serving 5 consecutive life sentences in Israel for 5 murders, when he was responsible for a couple dozen more as well. Marwan Barghouti, like Arafat, like Abbas, who was Arafat's right-hand man in terror atrocity, is a cold-blooded Arab Muslim murderer. He's never been known to utter or write even one sentence hinting at respecting the right of the Jews to live free of Muslim tyranny, which is religiously based. At the start of the Second Intifada in 2000, Barghouti was head of the Fatah Youth Movement, sort of their version of the Boy Scouts. Only merit badges for acquiring skills were never awarded because the program dealt solely with how to use a weapon to kill Jews. Barghouti was in charge of the Tanzim, which means organization, short for youth organization, which taught marksmanship, and he was responsible for dispatching some of his boys armed with deadly weapons to shoot at Jews on the roads and really anybody riding in a car on a Jewish-built road. One of his victims was a Greek Orthodox priest just minding his own business, innocently driving by. This Barghouti, we now read, was another one of those admirable freedom fighters in the mind of Jeremy Corbyn, who admittedly is a fine specimen of the new anti-Jew, the one who denies he's not anti-Semitic. He denies he's anti-Semitic. This is something new in our history. I guess we can thank the Holocaust for this new twist. Corbyn appears at a distance sincere in not wanting blatant anti-Semitic bilge to be pouring from the mouths of his party members. On the other hand, in a Janus-faced turnabout, he smiles on his generation's legal Jew killers, this generation's legitimate executioners of Jews at random for their collective evil of creating their own state in their ancient homeland. One imagines for Corbyn a family history that he's descended from hardcore Christian Jew haters who, like him, were rock solid in their ideological antipathy to Jews. That is their religious justification, but Corbyn is post-religious. For him, the Jews' current major sin is no longer deicide, but genocide. Really, for having stolen Palestine from the Palestinians, the country's legitimate ancient community, its real owners. This is where the otherwise sober Corbyn, who can identify old-fashioned anti-Jew nonsense, aka anti-Semitism, slides into his fantasy world, in which the Zionists deserve to die at the hands of their Muslim victims, at the hands of Hamas and Hezbollah, his friends. He's an interesting character study and representative of the times, isn't he? The anti-Jew who denies he is one. Thank you. You're listening to www.deprogramprogram.com, broadcasting from the hills of Judea. I'm Shai Ben-Tekoa. Speaking before of the morphing of the anti-Jew mindset in the current generation, the specimen under the microscope was Jeremy Corbyn, head of the Labour Party in England, but now I want to take a peek into the mind of a typical post-Jewish Israeli artiste, an Israeli anti-Jew Jew, in this case, Udi Aloni, a filmmaker, son of the late anti-Jew Jewess Shulamit Aloni. Last month, in the ever-trendy Tribeca section of Manhattan, yours truly once worked as a bartender in a jazz club there, the annual Tribeca Film Festival awarded the Best International Narrative Feature to Udi Aloni for his story of an Arab rapper who forges his artistic path in the mixed Arab-Jewish city of Lod. According to JTA, Jewish Telegraphic Agency, the film deals with, quote, anti-Arab bias in Israeli society, as well as violence and conservatism among members of its Arab community, close quote. Now, before getting to Mr. Aloni, in general, I cringe every time I hear Israelis refer to the Arabs here as a minority, as if they were like the Negroes in the segregated American South or blacks in apartheid South Africa. When in the region, we are the minority, and the Arabs the monstrous majority. Aloni's movie is, of course, an indictment of Israel for the treatment it deals its Arab minority, and in February, this film won the best in its class at the Berlin Film Festival, or rather, it was voted most favored by the audience, I guess, apart from the judges, during which festival Aloni offered his opinion that Germany should stop extending military aid to Israel. And for those who don't know, Germany has been building Israel's fleet of submarines. Aloni also said that Israel's government administers racial segregation worse than in South Africa, and that although he opposes Israel's definition as a Jewish state, he even rejects the two-state solution. He wants one state for all its citizens. In this, he thinks exactly like Azmi Bashara, the former Arab MK who fled the country when suspected of aiding the enemy during the Second Lebanon War in 2006. He was the one, Bashara, who invented that phrase, a state of all its citizens, that clearly has been stripped of its Jewish particularity. For Bashara, there was no cognitive dissonance when denying the Jews the right to their own state. At the same time, he supports the existence of 21 officially Arab and 56 officially Muslim states. In our generation, Bashara is labeled a Palestinian nationalist, a leftist, an anti-imperialist, a progressive opponent of racism, yada, yada, yada. His anti-Jew worldview is not taken into consideration. As one cannot describe the emperor's new clothes, one ignores the guiltless anti-Semitism of a man like this and his views and the support, of course, for uncivilized terror by his brothers against not only Jews but the whole world when they blow up a commercial airliner carrying all kinds of international travelers. And what irks yours truly about Udi Aloni and his ilk no less than his spiritual treason before the people of Israel, where he grew up, is his intellectual stupidity. In Berlin, he not only accused Israel of racial apartheid, worse than in South Africa, plainly the commonplace anti-Semitic delusion of the day, he also called Israel's government fascist. Here, I think his intellectual stupidity is less a function of his anti-Semitism than his ignorance, his lack of education. I doubt this jerk has read one book in his life on the theory and practice of fascism, its origins and ideology, its techniques in Italy, Germany, Croatia, Romania, etc. I personally think Israel's political system is inferior to others in the democratic West, but it remains democratic. There is no resemblance whatsoever to the conduct of fascist governments in history. This is just this character throwing around words to make himself appear more educated than he is. Calling Israel's government fascist is on a par with accusing Israel of administering a racial regime worse than in South Africa. Before I called him a jerk, I think he's worse. He's a schmuck. I feel sorry for such uneducated, pretentious artists, so cut off from their people's roots, the people with an amazing history, culture, and civilization. They're pathetic. In seeking the applause and approval and awards of anti-Jew artists in Berlin, and New York.
הנה מה טוב ומה נעים, שבת אחים גם יחד. הנה מה טוב ומה נעים, שבת אחים גם יחד. הנה הנה מה טוב ומה נעים, שבת אחים גם יחד. הנה הנה מה טוב ומה נעים, שבת אחים גם יחד. הנה מה טוב ומה נעים, שבת אחים גם יחד. הנה מה טוב ומה נעים, שבת אחים גם יחד. הנה הנה מה טוב ומה נעים, שבת אחים גם יחד. הנה הנה מה טוב ומה נעים, שבת אחים גם יחד. הנה מה טוב ומה נעים, שבת אחים גם יחד. הנה הנה מה טוב ומה נעים, שבת אחים גם יחד. הנה הנה מה טוב ומה נעים, שבת אחים גם יחד. כל יהודי הוא קודש קודשים, כל יהודי הוא קודש קודשים. הנה הנה מה טוב ומה נעים, שבת אחים גם יחד. הנה הנה מה טוב ומה נעים, שבת אחים גם יחד.
Okay, that's it for this day, this very slow news day and a very hot and humid day. I'll be back, God willing, on Thursday. Until then, Laila Tov, Me'eretz Yisrael.